want to make a comment about the issue that the minister raised of the Bolivian trade preferences. As you all may know, this ATPDA, Andean Trade Preference and Drug Eradication Act, is a program that the U.S. government has had for many years to support some of the countries in the Andean region where there is a lot of coca production, cocaine production. And the preferences were last week in the House and Senate approved to be extended. They were for the entire region, and the Senate and House have actually approved them for another year only for Peru and Colombia. For Ecuador, they approved 6 months with an automatic 6 month extension unless there's any problems. And for Bolivia, they only approved for 6 months, and then they have to recheck to see if they're making alleged progress according to U.S. standards in the quote-unquote war on drugs. And the day, as the minister said, just right after Ambassador Goldberg was expelled from Bolivia, the United States trade representative began proceedings to take away those preferences. So they have to be approved in the U.S. Senate and House, but the administration does have discretion to take them away, even if they've been approved in both chambers. And so the U.S. Trade Representative has implemented the steps to take those preferences away, only for Bolivia, as a punishment to Bolivia. And the dates that the minister mentioned, there's going to be an audience on the 23rd of October. If there are any organizations that have knowledge of these issues in Bolivia and would like to have an audience with the U.S. Trade Representative, you can ask for one, and you can also submit testimony. And I'm happy to share information with you if any of your organizations would be interested in doing that, because it is an important opportunity, I think, for us to show that just because Ambassador Goldberg lost his post does not mean that 20,000 Bolivians should lose their jobs. So it's a very serious issue, and I think unfortunate to see that as a country like Bolivia that struggled for so long with poverty, now that they've, you know, the people have elected and just recently, as we all know, affirmed the government with a 67% mandate, that the U.S. is then taking steps that would actually increase poverty and throw 20,000 people out of work as a punishment. So it's a very unfortunate situation, but one that we hopefully can do something about. Of course, if there were to be a new administration in January, that new administration could potentially reinstate those preferences in accordance with the approval of the U.S. Congress that did do that last week. So was there one more thing that Minister Arce that you wanted to say, or should we go into questions? Okay, so we are going to take a couple of questions. If you could just raise your hand and also just speak up, because we don't have a traveling microphone in this room, and also identify yourself so the minister knows where you're coming from.
Have to activities that work with all the political parties, including representatives of the Moss Party. Also, speaking of Mr. Weisbrot's remark about USAID not providing information on its programs, there's a great deal of information on USAID program on its website. And I no longer speak for the mission in Bolivia because I'm working here in Washington, but I think it's accurate to say that USAID Bolivia is very committed to working with the government of Bolivia to combat poverty and to confront all the challenges that Mr. Villegas mentioned in coordination with the government and in support with the government from passing out of its authority.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Can I respond?
Yeah, I'd like to
respond to that. And then you can too if you want. First of all, there is a lot of information on the website. The information that I read here today was from their website. The problem is that USAID does not give you all the information on the groups that are funding. So there's no way for the government of Bolivia or US taxpayers, for example, who also have an interest in where our tax dollars are being spent. There's no way for us to know if they're actually funding, for example, groups that are engaged in violence against the government, because they do not tell us, they are refusing to disclose all the recipients of their funding in Bolivia. And there was actually a lawsuit in federal district court there where the plaintiff tried to get USAID to disclose their recipients, and they said that they don't have to do that, and the judge, Florida judge, ruled in their favor. So until all the information is available, we don't know exactly what USAID is doing in Bolivia. And it's not a clandestine organization, I would add. That was the basis of the lawsuit. In other words, it's not the CIA. As a matter of fact, from a public interest point of view in the United States, they should release this information under the Freedom of Information Act. And there was another Freedom of Information Act request filed just a couple of weeks ago, again asking the USAID to release the information on groups that it's funding in Bolivia. So just because they put some information on their website doesn't mean that they're disclosing what their activities are in Bolivia. And secondly, I also do not accept the idea that simply because they fund groups across the political spectrum that they're not engaged in harmful activities. You know, the burden of proof is really on USAID and the International Republican Institute and the National Democratic Institute. I mean, they were caught in broad daylight, for example, destabilizing and basically helping to overthrow the government of Haiti in 2004. They supported a military coup in Venezuela in 2002. They funded groups and individuals who were involved. This is a matter of public record in the United States. And in Bolivia, they had the whole Office of Transition Initiatives, which they did close about a year ago, but it was very clearly involved in activities in support of the opposition. So really the burden of proof is on the government here to come clean and tell the public here in the United States and tell the Bolivian government exactly who they're funding and what these organizations are doing. So that's what I think is the most important point here. And until they do that, we can't assume that they're doing good things. You know, just because you fund across the political spectrum, I mean, they always try and do that. In Venezuela, they're very clearly hostile to the government. There's no doubt about it. The Office of Transition Initiatives is still spending $3 or $4 million there, which we have no idea where it's going. And they still try, and I think have had maybe a little bit of success, to fund some pro-government groups there so they can say exactly what you just said, that we fund across the political spectrum. But that's not good enough. I mean, you know, if the Pakistani government were to come to the U.S. and say, well, we're giving some money to Al-Qaeda, but we're also giving some money to other groups, you know, that wouldn't wash. So I really think that's not an answer. Sorry.
Do you want to respond there?
Man.
Thank you. Yes, just in order to have a complete idea because of the question, if it's true that the U.S. government is helping all the 9 prefecturas, we don't receive the reports from the USA to the Bolivian government of this help. So even from the prefecturas, which are together with the government, they didn't report. They are not reporting help from the USA. So we have issued a decree last year that obliged to the old prefecturas to the old international cooperation. To report all kind of help to the government, because we do know that the USA is helping to private sectors, but we don't receive any report from them. So what they are doing with the money, we don't know, and that's why we agree with the people who preceded talking about this transparency of information. We don't have the complete information from USA.
Another question? Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for the questions. As you can see here, we have the total items for new teachers, for new doctors in the economy. As you will see, in up to 2004, 2005, you will see 500 new items for professors per year. Since 2006, we have created 4,000 items for new teachers in Bolivia. Of course, behind all these figures, you can imagine the cost of salaries and wages that we have to pay. And this year, we are creating 4,500 items for new teachers. And of course, the same happened with in the health sector for doctors. We used to have 500 new items per year, but now we are now creating almost 1,000 per year. So we are duplicating new doctors. We are more than duplicated also the new teachers. So then another, you have to see this. We have a literacy program which will be ending this year. At the end of this year, we will have Bolivia free of illiteracy this year. I'm showing you the advances of this program. There is one department, one state that which is free of illiteracy so far, which is Pando, very small one, but we hope that at the end of this year we will have Bolivia free of illiteracy. Then we also have this program which is called Mancito Pinto Bond. We pay 200 bolivianos to all scholars who end the year of the year of the studies, and as you can see, we have help to. We have the figures here. 1.8 million of students who are receiving this year this Juancito bond, which is almost $50 million. The money for paying this bond comes from the first of all from the hydrocarbons nationalization, and all the revenues we are receiving from the nationalization. And that's what I can answer to your questions. I'm going to leave to my colleague in order to continue the answers.
Algunos aspectos complementarios al que acaba de señalar el ministro Luis Arce. El actual gobierno, el 22 de enero del 2009, va a cumplir 3 años de gestión gubernamental. Bolivia tiene una vida republicana de 180 años. Lo que se ha hecho en 172 o 173 años, no podemos revertirlo en 3 años. Pero tenemos la voluntad política decidida de revertir y solucionar los problemas estructurales. Un problema que acaba de señalar el ministro Arce, que quiero subrayar, porque algún momento seguro Estados Unidos vivió una situación de esa naturaleza. Bolivia este año será declarado territorio libre de analfabetismo. No es poca cosa. En los 177 años anteriores, hubieron algunos intentos, pero nunca culminar. Y estamos seguros que no es suficiente, porque hay que ingresar a la segunda fase, al programa de la post-alfabetización. Pero lo fundamental, que un país, si quiere preciarse con un futuro promisorio, es que tiene que solucionar los problemas de educación. y estamos dando un paso significativo para Bolivia, un paso histórico. Producción agrícola, pecuaria, forestal, es otro de los retos importantes, en especial alimentos. En la intervención señalaba que uno de los retos fundamentales es producir alimentos, es tener soberanía alimentaria. Y este aspecto es central. Bolivia tiene las condiciones de tierra, climatológicas, para ser un país soberano en producción alimentaria. Y estamos con una política que nos permite encarar con seriedad la producción de alimentos. Pobreza, empleo, ingreso, sector informal. Les decía que también este es un reto. Es un reto fundamental que el gobierno está encarando. A partir del 1 de enero vamos a implementar un programa que lo hemos denominado Programa de Erradicación de la Extrema Pobreza. En pleno siglo XXI, creo que ningún país tiene que vivir en una situación de esta naturaleza, a pesar de que el mismo sistema capitalista produce y reproduce pobreza. Yo estoy seguro que hace unos 10 o 15 años atrás en Estados Unidos no había pobres, pero ahora hay pobres, porque es el mismo sistema el que produce y reproduce pobreza. Y hay que erradicar la pobreza. El gas, desde el 2006 dijimos, gas para los bolivianos, y la prioridad uno es gas para Bolivia. Yo acabo de dejar el Ministerio de Hidrocarburos, se continúa con la política de que la prioridad uno es Bolivia y segundo, los mercados externos. Y en prioridad uno quiere decir instalación domiciliaria de gas, que los bolivianos tengan acceso al gas, hogares, industrias, comercio, hospitales, escuelas, y también un cambio en la matriz energética para permitir que el sistema de transporte público, especialmente, acceda al gas natural vehicular. Y por último, no acepto que estamos incentivando y aumentando la economía del narcotráfico. El circuito coca-cocaína no está presente ahora en Bolivia. Han habido políticas condicionadas por parte de Estados Unidos, particularmente preferencias arancelarias, presencia de la DEA para hacer erradicaciones forzosas de coca. En algunos casos lo forzoso fue el pago por hectárea de una X cantidad de dólares. Otro mecanismo forzoso coercitivo fue la violencia. Ahora, estos dos últimos años, hay una erradicación de la coca sin violencia, sino con sistemas acordados con dirigentes y organizaciones de las dos zonas productoras de coca, el Chapare Cochabambino y los Yungas del Departamento de La Paz. He señalado en la intervención tolerancia cero al narcotráfico. Por lo tanto, años anteriores, es cierto, algún momento inclusive un gobierno que se asoció para su reproducción política y económica al narcotráfico. Este gobierno diseñó, tomó la decisión desde el principio
tolerancia cero al narcotráfico y por lo tanto erradicación del cultivo de la coca con acuerdos, con compromisos entre el gobierno y las organizaciones sociales de los lugares y las zonas donde se produce coca. Gracias.
Thank you.
We'd like to give a warm appreciation to the ministers. I think it's been great to actually have some of the data and facts in front of us to move us beyond rhetoric into the debate. And on that, I do appreciate the participation of USAID also in our debate. If you are looking for more information about ATPDA, please do let us know. I think I've just closed by saying that CEPR does believe that the U.S. government does have an obligation to disclose the destination of its funding, and also to obviously stop funding groups that are engaged in opposition in violent and illegal activities, and also to condemn the violence. We are the only major government at this time that has not condemned the terrorist attacks recently in Bolivia that resulted in the deaths of 19 people. And I think that's something that we ought to be asking our government to do. I apologize, but the ministers do have another commitment, so we thank you very much for your participation today, and please do not forget to turn in your headsets. Thank you very much.